Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Pens Nation Radio Show. I'm Ken Will with Nick Richter and Joe Depto, and I don't think there's any guessing about it. Guess who's back? Crosby's back. And not just present and in the lineup, but making an impact right away, scoring the Pens' first goal about 5 minutes into the game, right? Is that the exact time on that? But, it wasn't a garbage goal. You know, that was a vintage Sidney Crosby goal that we're used to seeing so much of from him. Two goals, two assists from Sidney Crosby tonight, number one star of the game, as the Penguins rout the New York Islanders 5-0, Fleury picking up his 21st career shutout. Joe and Nick, what was the game look like from your perspective?
I mean, what more can you say almost about the way this team has played, especially tonight, just to see Crosby's first game back? This team all around just elevated their game. To see Crosby come in with a monster game, it's just so fitting because the guy is that good. Is there anybody even close, actually, to the talent that this guy puts out there on the ice night in and night out? Well, night in, I guess, tonight, but it's been one game. But, well, like, I'm almost at a loss for words for what I saw tonight because it was so it was so Lemieux-esque, just how he dominated and took over the game. He played about 14 minutes in the game tonight, and it seemed like he was on there for at least 25. It just seemed like he was kind of taking over, and you just kept seeing him on the ice, or you heard his name or whatever, and it was just a dominant performance.
Yeah, it really was, and I think we kind of ran into, or earlier today we were talking about what kind of expectations that we could have for Sidney Crosby and whether or not it was realistic to think of him coming off, because, you know, as you just said, night in, night out. Now, might not be the case this season, mm-hmm. but the last time we saw this kid playing hockey was in the prime of his career. You know, he was coming off that scoring streak, and he was had a lot of points at that time through December. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped cold. And we see the same Sidney Crosby that we saw 10 months ago. And what we saw tonight was certainly that, and even a little bit more, really, with the four-point night. It kind of is something that, you know, Pittsburgh fans are used to, because we talked about Mariano Lemieux, and that he had a lot of standards to hold up to live up to with Lemieux in Pittsburgh. But Crosby didn't let us down in any way. And I think that's something, like I said, something we learned with Lemieux was that Lemieux came back from Hodgkin's lymphoma first in 1993. Came back from the chemo treatment, and what did he do? He scored a goal right away and kept going, and actually won the scoring race that year, even though he missed more than half the season with his back problems. He came back from that, and he was just perfectly fine. And then when he retired in 97, came back in 2000, he came back, and everyone was saying, is he going to be the same player? You know, he scored a goal, and, you know, 30 seconds into that game, he had an assist. And, you know, he was a force, and he was a factor for the rest of that season. And then it was ownership, too. Can Lemieux really save the Penguins? Can he really get an arena built in Pittsburgh? Well, he did that, too. You know, it's like we kind of like got to a point where I was like, you know what? I am never, ever going to doubt him.
Yeah, there's
nothing
the guy can do.
Never going to doubt Mario Lemieux. And so far, I mean, this is Crosby's first real showcase of that element of him, is that, you know, you can ask all the questions you want, but do not doubt me. And that's, I think, the message that Sidney Crosby sent to the National Hockey League and the hockey fans all over tonight.
I think that's definitely an accurate way to put it. I think that, you know, this is one of those nights that there was obviously a lot of hype. There was a lot of media attention. There was a lot of fan attention and everything like that. And I think what it really said about Crosby is a lot of what you were just talking about, Ken. I mean, you know, Crosby's one of those guys, he just kind of has that it factor about him. When guys get put in certain situations, they raise their game to a higher level. And Crosby knew that every face in Canada and in a large portion of the United States, too, were going to be watching this game, and all eyes were on him. And he didn't have a problem raising his game. I mean, geez, don't call it a comeback. That's for sure. This guy's the best in the game.
Would have been a way more awesome song to start the show with, by the way.
That's a good call, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely did not disappoint in any way, shape, or form. If you're a Pens fan or not, I think if, just hockey fan in general, when you see a game from the league's best player, arguably the best player in the league, like that in his first attempt back from a major, major injury. Not to say that his high ankle sprain wasn't a major injury or anything like that. This is a lot different than a high ankle sprain coming back from this. You have a lot more jitters and a lot more bugs. Okay, how am I going to react to a real game time hit? All that stuff just kind of went out the window after that first goal. And you could see it from Crosby, too. You could see just how he reacted after that goal as he's celebrating that. Just the you didn't have to know how to lip read to see what he said out there, but you could just sense that sense of, okay, that one's behind me. I can do this. Let's go. And from then on, it was just it's a sheer great performance from Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I think we and he even mentioned in his post-game interview, we all read his lips at celebration for the goal. But I think what he was really saying to himself whenever he scored that was, yeah, I'm Sidney Crosby, baby. you know, because it's been 10 months since he was on top of the league like that. And, you know, you sort of, even if you are the greatest, you kind of forget exactly how good and exactly what you do until you step in and you do it again. You feel that again. And I think in that instant, Sid kind of got a very quick reminder of exactly how dominant he is.
And I was really impressed by the way that Crosby kind of, at least at the end of the game, you know, when they were announcing the three stars, they obviously announced Fleury and Dupuis as the third and the second. Crosby sort of, you know, just being the humble guy that he is, deflected it all away from him. He made sure that the Pens ice crew gave Fleury a puck for getting a huge shutout, inching his way up on the all-time leaderboard there, and immediately afterwards gave his game you stick to a kid in the stand. It was just such a great thing. Everyone is looking at him. The spotlight is on him. The fans are going nuts. And he's such a humble guy that he deflected that moment away from. I thought that was just as special as what he did on the ice.
We want to hear from you here on the Pens Nation Radio Show. If you'd like to call into the show, the guest number is 347-202-0344. Some things I'd like to kind of talk about are, did Sidney Crosby exceed your expectations, or did you expect him to come back with this kind of action? You can also get us on Twitter at the Pens Nation. Again, that number to call is 347-202-0344. How about you guys? Did you think he exceeded expectations? Or I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the show tonight or today when we have Brian Metzer on. But I mean, two goals, two assists. Is this what the Crosby and not? Or should say just not just looking at the score sheet, but the way. I mean, he was all over the place. You know, I forget the exact total number of minutes he played, but it seemed like it was way more than that, just because it seemed like he was always on the ice and he was always making a difference. You know, he's had a factor.
When we were on earlier, I was probably the one guy that kind of just thought he would have a big game, and for me even. It exceeded my expectations of even what he did. I kind of expected, like, okay, three assists maybe, some three-point night, just a modest three-point night maybe. But he just kind of really, above and beyond that, he really just blew me away tonight.
And honestly, he had the 4 points, but it really could have been more than that. He was setting himself up on great chances. He was... The power play looked very fluid, and he had a lot of nice scoring chances with it. He showed a lot of nice chemistry with Malkin on the wing that he, you know, that's kind of been an albatross for Pittsburgh in the past. And Ethan Strang, he showed great chemistry right back with his old line mates, Chris Knutson and Pascal Dupuis. So even though it was 4 points, it easily could have been six or seven.
Yeah, It was good to see from Sidney Crosby. Now, we do have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the line with the Pens Nation Radio Show. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're from.
Hey, guys. Steve from Oakland. I'm one of the writers for Hey Fans.
What's going on, Steve?
How's it going? Hey, I just got back from the game a little bit ago. I'm speechless. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, it's like he never left the way he was playing. He only played 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I was just gonna say, I think we're all in the same boat where you're really trying to put into words something that can't be put into words, and unfortunately that's our job here. But it's something that's special to watch, and there's no good way to describe it. So you know, I feel exactly what you're going through. What was it like to get all MG Center tonight? Something I mentioned also today was that this could finally be the signature game for that new building, and I think we do have that now. You think of this place, and you're going to think of Sidney Crosby's comeback. What was it like there tonight?
There's a lot of emotion before the game. I don't know if they released it yet. Yeah, I'm assuming they will, but the whole opening video, it was all Crosby highlights. They pretty much skipped over the they usually have that one with, goals from the past couple games or whatever. They skipped over and played the Foo Fighters, Not Like the Other Song, they had last year, I think, for their opening. And that was I was getting a little bit emotional just watching. It was just no words could describe it. You had to be there pretty much. But it was high emotional early, and then once you get settled in, you never lose that, but it's a little bit more. After he scored, it kind of seemed more like a normal game. I think it was kind of like getting the elephant off your back type deal. But I mean, people were cheering him every time he touched the puck. I don't know what Root Sports did with the crowd audio, but it's the loudest I've heard it. And it's definitely
It was definitely loud. And that's what I was about to ask you, like. How loud was it in there? Like, was it deafening? Was it hurt your ears loud? Did you see kids running and parents kind of, I don't know. Like, I was listening to that first goal when I was coming home on the radio, and it was loud. And you could barely hear Mike Lang over top of those guys. And I can only imagine what it was like to be in there. So kind of share a little bit more about that.
It was definitely the loudest I heard it. I mean, the one thing I noticed, too, was at the beginning of the game, every seat was filled. That was something that was nice to see. But it wasn't deafening. It was definitely ear-hurting. It reminded me of Mellon during the Mellon Arena during the playoff run in 09. I was at game 6 of that, and that was... It was very comparable to that. It felt like a playoff game, just the whole atmosphere down around the arena and everything. So that's the closest I could describe it, a playoff game with more emotions. It's overlooked, but we had 3 points tonight. He's up to 17 on the year without Crosby for most of that. And I thought that was – I think Bob Airy mentioned it post-game, someone said. But that actually.
We had 17. He has 17 points on the year.
Yeah,
that's three more than Ovechkin.
Yeah,
that's El Dupuy.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
But, I mean, the whole team just looked great tonight. You know, Flower was on the game, and they. It was the Islanders, so I don't know how much to weigh it, but they. If they play like this every game, then Sid's healthy the rest of the year. I'm not going to say the words, but I think you guys know what I'm getting at here. They could probably make a pretty good run come May and June. So.
Yeah, and I think that's that was the message sent across to the National Hockey League and tonight is that if you weren't believing in the Penguins before, and most people were saying they're the strongest team in the East, between them and Boston anyway, then you better start taking them seriously now that Sidney Crosby's back and Zibanejad Mihalik, and the whole team is healthy. I mean, that's just weird to think about. It's been so long since we've really been there. But, you know, we can't forget about that Boston team because they came away from tonight with their 10th consecutive victory. So the Pens aren't alone up there, but it certainly is nice to see the direction the Pens are headed, because they are going the right direction. And, yeah, you mentioned Pascal Dupuis. I mean, he's having a heck of a season himself.
Quietly, second, too.
Yeah, quietly, but, I mean, having he's second on the team in points with 17, and James Steele is in first with 21. But, yeah, Dupuis had a great season himself, so that, proving that Ray Shiro made a good call re-upping him in the offseason. Wasn't sure what that was going to happen or not.
Yeah, Dupuis is one of those guys that you can just plug in at any place in your lineup, and he's going to do just as good of a job on the fourth line as he is on the first line. And tonight, man, he had a couple really nice touches on that led to two of those goals for the Penguins tonight. And like he is definitely one of the guys that's flying under the radar right about now.
Yeah, Dupuis had a special season, and I mean, he showed tonight he's got some hands. Some of those passes that he was flicking to Sid and Kunitz, those were not bottom six type passes. Those were
not
legitimate
at all.
Top six, top line passes that you make when you're playing with the best player in the world like he is.
So that opens up a bit of a question for Dan Bylsma and the Penguins for the future. Obviously, Crosby had success tonight, and also Dupuis and Kunitz, and so did the second line, you know, with Evgeny Malkin setting up Steve Sullivan.
Beauty.
It was a beautiful goal, and getting a second goal of the season, which, you know, couldn't come at a better time for Sullivan, because he was definitely starting to squeeze the stick a little bit tight himself in his own little scoring slump. So do you mess with this lineup much? Because obviously right now you don't, but, you know, the idea of getting James Neal and acquiring him was, you know, that he was going to be the winger for Sid, but, you know, as it is right now, it's tough to even put him in that position because of the way Crosby, Kunitz, and Dupuis are playing together.
Well, I think that you probably, at least in my opinion, if I'm Dan Bylsma, I keep them the same. And the reason for that is a couple of things. One is obviously familiarity. The second would be probably matchup problems. You know, you come into Pittsburgh, if you're a coach on the road, you don't have that last change. There's a 75% chance you're going to end up with either Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, or Jordan Staal. That is a matchup disaster. And as far as James Neal goes, James Neal's the Pittsburgh Penguins' best winger right now, arguably, but I don't necessarily know that he's the right winger to play with Sid, because I think Sid is kind of so good and he's so talented that he needs the right players with him, not necessarily the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, though, towards the end of that game when Bylsma had the line of Malkin, Crosby, and Neal out there, those guys were creating some chances, and I guess you couldn't not expect that with three guys of that caliber, but just the way that he mixes up these lines, there are so many variables that you can do there. It just is mind-boggling of what you can do, because there have been so many injuries over the past year that all these guys are used to playing with each other. I mean, for crying out loud, try Craig Adams on the top line. He's going to pop 30 goals. I don't know. Like, it's a great I've never seen a team that's been able to say that like all these guys can play with each other instead of like just having your niche of like these three guys only play with each other or whatever, like they do in Washington. So,
and meanwhile,
even Malkin was.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I mean, even it just reminded me when Nick was talking about, you could arguably put Craig Adams up there at one point tonight just to kind of mix things up and get kind of a puck possession forecheck line. I mean, Malkin was skating with Aaron Asham and Craig Adams at one point just for a couple of shifts. I thought that was interesting, and they created a couple decent scoring chances. So you might be right. I think this Pens team might be destined to be good, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, there were actually a couple times too where, you know, watching that fourth line, I was like, man, this looks like their second shift of the game. Like, and it wasn't. They had their fair share of ice time, but there was just such a so overshadowed, I should say, in today's or tonight's game as compared to where they've been in the last 10 months, because of what they've had to, you know, they basically had to carry the load in a lot of ways for the Penguins, and they did just a great job of doing that. But now that load is off of them, and they can really focus on being effective at what they're supposed to be effective with, which is another thing that just makes this team stronger.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I mean,
it's almost tough to really even embellish on that too much, because it's absolutely true. I mean, it's one of those things. I think that this Pens team, it really, and I don't mean to compare present to the past too much, but there are a lot of parallels between this team and a lot of those early 90s teams that the Penguins threw out, with Malkin playing the role of Jágr, Crosby playing the role of Lemieux, James Neal playing the role of Kevin Stephens, Chris Letang playing the role of Paul Coffey, Fleury as Bourassa.
Jordan Staal as Ron Francis.
Yeah, that's a good point too. And even the differences, I think that maybe even this team might have an advantage over those, as strange as it might seem, is I don't know if there's a roster I've ever seen in all my years of watching hockey that is so in tune and has so much chemistry with their coaching staff as these guys do.
Yeah.
Bylsma and Granato, there's so much mutual, and all of those guys, Reardon, et cetera, there's such a mutual respect between them and the guys that play for them that it just takes it to a higher level, even when the team's going through adversity.
And I think the comparison we can make there with the teams in the early 90s goes to Pedro Bob Johnson. You know, because,
sure.
Dan Bylsma, I think, is a much younger version of Badger Bob in a lot of ways. Just the passion that he brings to his job, to the game itself, and the way he relates to players, it really reminds me of that from what all accounts by all players who ever played under him.
He's definitely a player's coach, much like Badger Bob. And honestly, we haven't had a player's coach like that since Badger Bob. And it gets results, actually. There was a study a couple years ago, and was it Sports Science? Was that the show? Does that ring a bell?
I think that's what it was.
Sports Science, where they had how players
I read once.
How players react to different coaching techniques, and you had the screamer in Bobby Knight, and then you had like the Mike Krzyzewski kind of style of coach, kind of more composed or whatever, and overall, the players that played better weren't the ones getting screamed at to be motivated to do their job better or whatever. It was the coach that actually cared about their player. It was a player's coach, and it's good to have one of those in Pittsburgh.
I think one exception we can talk about there is, while both great goaltenders, Marc-Andre Fleury is not Tom Barrasso, at least as far as their personalities go. They're pretty much
especially with the media,
on the opposite end of the spectrum. And Marc-Andre Fleury can't be.
Maybe Brent Johnson.
Yeah. looking at tonight, making 29 saves in that shutout effort, and coming away from tonight with his 11th win of the season. Which is, I believe, second in the National Hockey League.
And he's still one of only two goalies in the entire NHL. He and Tim Thomas have not given up more than 3 goals all season long. And that's with McCulloch missing a decent amount of time. That's with Martin not playing up to his standards. And actually, even McCulloch for a while there, he wasn't playing up to McCulloch's standards. Marc-Andre Fleury definitely carried the team. Yeah. He's carried this team a long way, and I think that gets lost in the shuffle a lot.
But he's not elite. Nah, not elite.
Brooks Orpik scored a goal tonight.
Looked like Gonchar on that shot, too.
Yeah, he did.
Jeez.
Reminded me a lot of the game six goal that Sergei Gonchar scored against the Flyers in the 2008 playoffs. Well, no, that was 09 in that playoff run. to kind of seal or take the lead in the third period. Just the same kind of setup when you're just picking apart that that left corner. And, I mean, the whole sequence there, Dupuy keeping the play alive, Crosby actually catching that pass from Dupuy and then setting up Orpik for that shot. You know, this power play might, you know, get their wheels back on the horse.
Wheels back on the horse?
I don't know what I just said. Have you ever seen a horse?
And a horse are you riding?
It's a wooden horse. It's one of the stupid gifts you get on Christmas when you're 5 years old and you never actually play with the toy because someone made it for you and it always fell apart anyway. That's what I'm talking about. Which, you know, isn't exactly what you want the Penguins power play to look like, but, you know.
I have no idea still what you're talking about.
Yeah. What I'm saying is Sidney Crosby is a Ferrari.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
I'm just happy you said that because for once we did a show where I don't sound like the delirious one.
Or me. Yeah,
I do a fine job of doing that sometimes. You just let me go and keep talking for a while. I'll eventually do it. So just, you know, my space.
We probably had the same look on our face that Orpik had when he scored that goal. He looked like some guy just walked up on the street and just handed him a $100 bill for no reason.
What about for two $100 bills? You know, where's this guy come from lately? Two goals in the last four games for Brooks Orpik? What? That's unfathomable.
Yeah, man. And you know the goal against the Avalanche, well, that was a lucky fluke goal. I mean, this is a goal that, you know, a goal scorer would score. It looked like he looked like he meant to put the puck in the net.
He snipes it, man. That's when you know all the. That's when you know the curse is broken. I think when he starts sniping goals like that and you have a full roster pretty much at full strength, curse is broken, guys. It's over. No more injuries for the next 4 years.
So the question will become, will the Penguins ever shave the mustaches?
You know what? We need to start a petition or something because when Crosby started that last November is when he got into that that nice little goal scoring streak where he scored 50 freaking points in 25 games or something crazy. Mm-hmm. And now the entire team, there's nothing they can't do now. It's the power of the stash. It drives them to be who they are.
Yeah, and really, if you haven't done so yet and you're a Pens fan, next time they show a shot of the bench, pay extra close attention to it. Because not only Dan Bylsma, but Tony Granato has a great stash going. But look at the Penguins' equipment, staff, and trainer. Just straight up man, Fu Manchu is all the way down. And they're thick.
Yeah. You feel like less of a man.
Oh, I feel totally inadequate.
They are thick.
They are so thick. Well, that's up for tonight's live edition of the Pens Nation Radio Show. For Sidney Crosby, for Joe Depto,
for
Jake
Richter, in Brooklyn,
for Jake in Brooklyn, from our buddy in Oakland, for Brian Metzer this afternoon, for Paul DeFazio. For Mike Darnay, sleeping, napping in his bed right now.
Wayne Gretzky Anderson.
For the bros next door playing acoustic guitar and singing Backstreet Boys songs. You've been listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show.
Yeah, boy! Now this is a part of the show when we can do stupid stuff.
Yeah, as opposed to that last 10 minutes.
Talking about horses with wheels. I don't even know what happened there.
I
blanked out for about 30 seconds of that conversation, and the last thing I hear is a horse's wheels falling off.
Yeah, well, I don't really know clearly what was happening either, so I mean, I blacked out mid-statement.
You're on, like, autopilot. You'll have to go back and listen to the tape.
It was thick.
Oh! And if you happen to go to the game tonight and you have your ticket, go to Bocktown. You can get your first beer for free. Do it.
Yep. We got that one in.
Yes, we did. You know, it's an exciting time to be a Ben fan, man. Why not throw back a few like that?
you know, maybe Crosby has kind of gone on this tear in November when he's wearing that mustache. The guy's crazy superstitious, so he probably thinks he's in playoffs. He probably thinks he's growing a playoff beard or something.
He's going to be looking like George freaking Parros by the end of the year. If he keeps this up, he's going to have the biggest stash in the NHL. He's going to look Parros-esque.
I don't know about that. Crosby.
If you have 20 players who all look like Magnum P.I., I'd be pretty satisfied with that.
Probably look more like Pedro from Napoleon.
Yeah,
if
Crosby, if he didn't shave the mustache all year, he would just look like a 13-year-old with steroids.
It's actually coming out a little better than it has in previous years. You could see maybe he's got a little more testosterone. I don't know. Maybe he's on HGH. He's catching Ovechkin, by the way, in points in like three games. You got the Senators in there. The Senators have given up the second most amount of goals in the NHL. You got the Blues, who aren't exactly playing well. Man, on top of that, the Islanders, it's not inconceivable that he could put up four points the next two games also. So.
Well, yeah, he's going to be... He's going to be even with Ovechkin by the time December rolls around.
My mind is still blown about the whole Dupuis thing, by the way. That came out of left field to me for some reason. Once Steve said that, holy cow, 17 points. And you're paying what for the guy? 1.8? I can't even remember what his cap it is. $1.5 million. For Pascal Dupuis, or you can pay 9.8 whatever for Alexander Ovechkin.
Or whatever they're playing for Salmon.
Gosh. Who?
With a healthy scratch tonight.
Healthy scratch tonight. Who?
I don't even know what's going on over in Washington right now. This is not a team that should be having these kind of dysfunctional problems. They're a solid team. They're not a team that has, I don't know, like a 500 record and a prima donna superstar. They're a legit team that if they could actually get it right. And for once, I think Boudreau's got this right. I think he's calling out his players. He wants them to change. He wants them to be more unpredictable. And they're unwilling to do it.
They don't like it. And you're starting to see that, you know, players are off the record – saying to members of the media that, yeah, there's definitely tension between Alex Ovechkin and the coach, and Bruce Boudreau, and, you know, that's not a good thing, especially whenever your coach is doing the right thing. So, you know, I don't know what the right answer there is exactly for George McPhee. He's kind of in a lose-lose situation with everything they do.
Yeah, and if they do get rid of Boudreau, the fact that he gets it right now, if they can him now, yeah, that's even better for Pens fans because they're not going anywhere, I think, soon. Even if they do change the coach right now, Ovechkin goes back to playing his same style, but just with more, gusto, I guess. Like, he's more emotionally into the game, but he's still predictable now. They're shutting down his lanes. They're not giving him the quality shots that he had before, and you need to be able to adapt. And Crosby's shown that, you know, like, he's a player that adapts. He's a player that works on his weaknesses. He's a player that continually evolves and gets better. And if you don't do that, you're not going to find success in this league for very long.
Well, here's some irony for you. Alex Semin was a healthy scratch tonight, and I find it really ironic that on this night where Sidney Crosby is coming back, he's got the media all about him, he's scoring 4 points, he's basically just putting up the FU face to any guy who ever hates on him. And Alex Semin was the guy who went on this big tirade about how Crosby's not a big deal and he thinks he's overrated and he doesn't understand why he thinks he's special. Meanwhile, Crosby's lighting up all of sports tonight. Alex Semin is sitting in the press box eating amazing fruit.
Your roll up.
I love that you didn't go with nachos or popcorn or hot dogs.
Yeah, all the obvious answers are taken.
Had to go a little bit of ambiguity there. No one has eaten the Maison fruit since 1994. I don't even know why I said that.
They're huge in Russia right about now, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, man, I love the Maison fruit. I could still sing that jingle, too. Yeah, do, 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 do. Amazing fruit, amazing fruit. I'm telling you,
like
man,
gummy bears on steroids.
On YouTube. They were. Everything's on steroids tonight.
That horse without feet wasn't, though.
Absolutely not.
Poor horse.
Oh, it's amazing fruit. That's why I couldn't find it.
Got an apostrophe, not a G.
Yeah. It's more ghetto-fied that way. Hey, I was wrong about the Pascal Dupuis thing. I want to clarify. He's only 2 points ahead of Ovechkin. You know,
oh,
Ovechkin scored tonight. So. Oh, God forbid. Yeah, but I was wrong. It happens every once in a while. More often.
Bob Grove's never wrong.
Bob Grove's never wrong. But 2 point difference between Pascal Dupuis and Alexander Ovechkin, that is quite a statement about the way that Alex Ovechkin's been playing. He is not playing up to par. I love it.
A lot of the superstar names are on the East, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really not. I mean, they're kind of just quiet. I mean, when the NHL is being led in points by Phil Kessel, you know that other guys aren't stepping up. And I'm not taking anything away from Kessel, but he's not the kind of player that just is typically lighting things up like that. Like, you know?
Well, I mean, the best right now, I mean, I know he's a fantastic player, but I don't think a lot of people would probably have expected that the best non-Pittsburgh player in the NHL at this point would be Claude Giroux. I don't think that's, you know, most people would say Ovechkin or Sedin or, you know, something like Zach Stamkos or a player like that.
I mean, he's playing like Lemieux, right?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
teach him everything he knows.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he certainly had a fantastic season.
Presenting the one and only fruit bearing gummy bears.
See, I am lying.
Do they pay for that? That little plug?
Yeah. My goal is to bring amazing fruit out of the black, or back into the black.
Oh, I want Gushers to succeed.
Oh man, they still make those though.
I love Gushers.
And Gushers, they're still delicious, by the way.
We need Dunkaroos to make a comeback.
Also delicious. What about Squeezes?
Thundercat
and Mondos. Those are good.
Squeezes, yes. Go-Gurt.
Blurpees.
Oh man, my childhood. It's all being relived all over again. It was like, well, all of a sudden Lemieux's back playing now, and there's Crosby. My whole childhood is complete now. You just took me back to sixth grade.
What were the little candies? They looked like dinosaur eggs, but they had pink in the middle, and they were really good.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Is that LSD?
No, I didn't get that until college.
I'll go over that for the next show.
Dinosaur egg.
We'll find out what those are.
Okay, great.
Yeah, really, somebody asked me tonight, how long has Sid been playing and how long has he been in the NHL? And, you know, I was really blown away by thinking about this because, I mean, this is his seventh season in the National Hockey League. And to think about the fact that we hadn't seen him play for 10 months, almost a full year until tonight. And, you know, I think about just my timeline as being a Pens fan and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I feel like I grew up with Sidney Crosby now, even though, like, I feel like, he didn't start playing until, you know, I was well into college. And but it seems like, you know, going back into high school watching Sidney Crosby, but that's not the case. It's been so long, but it still seems like just yesterday that his career actually started.
He's only 24. The Mason Fruit.
Brock's
Rocks. He's been around longer than Amazing Fruit.
Brock's Rocks was the candy I was thinking of earlier. Those are delicious.
The Sports Center on ESPN is actually leading with the National Hockey League tonight. So, need to be convinced any more about what Sidney Crosby does for the game of hockey, there's just a little bit more for you. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I've been saying, you know, people who say that Crosby's overrated or overhyped, you know, this game should just shut them right up. But it didn't. You know, the haters are always going to hate out there, so whatever.
I find it, during the third period of that game, a lot of Pens fans on Twitter were kind of clamoring about the Woo Birds coming back out. But these are the same fans that were complaining about fans leaving 10 minutes early. Which would you rather have, I guess? Like, I think Pens fans find something to complain about regardless of what is going on. No matter how good something is going, there's always something to kind of be upset about. And I'll take the Woo Birds over people leaving 10 minutes before the game ends any day.
Because
they really do.
Most of the fans in the stands, and I'm not trying to say all, but there's a very large chunk of those fans who don't remember what it was like to watch this team suck for those long 4 years.
It's true.
I mean, they're spoiled. They don't.
They're a fan of something too. I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these people forget that it was just 5 years ago. We were bracing to have this team move to Kansas City. I don't know. A lot of this stuff is too, it's too close to my rearview mirror for me to ever get cocky about the Pens.
Mm-hmm. Although I can complain. I'll complain about Ryan Mill.
Hey,
I'll complain about him tonight, too. Man. Everybody in the city, everyone in the state, across the U.S. and Canada, wants your ticket. So get on the phone. Oh, geez, just shut up. I guess I'm getting a little
penalty kill.
Yeah. A little controversial there, sorry.
How about one thing that kind of flew under the radar tonight was James Neal not scoring a goal at home for the first time all season. That's crazy.
He's still going to score 40 goals this year.
Yeah, but it was that good of a night that, like, most Pens fans weren't all up in arms about it. Oh, Neal didn't score tonight, whatever. Like, everyone's just so happy. It's great.
I'm so happy.
Wait, Brian Burke's on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. He's actually pretty good to read on Twitter, too.
Did not know that.
Yeah, because he doesn't just, like, tweet. Like Scott Halpin, being on Twitter, will sometimes tweet, like, the Columbus Blue Jackets have made a trade for Nikita Nikita.
Nikita.
Yeah.
We've lost 17 games in a row. One for every fan that showed up tonight.
But it's really, really boring and lame. The way he uses Twitter, but Brian Burke actually sounds off on some things. And today he was actually really glowing about Crosby and what it means to have the superstar back in the lineup, and not just that, but Crosby as a person and as a human. It's nice to see him. Plus, he interacts with some of the fans and some of the media and blocks some of the media, like Steve Simmons in Toronto, which was made public today that they're no longer talking on Twitter, apparently. So, Brian Burke is entertaining.